Creating checkpoints in the system will ensure everything stays on track and that your client has the experience you and your team want to deliver. The system can be set up to encourage clients to meet you at the office if they want to see you face to face. If you have a techie client, your system can give them web links to everything about their property or the property they want to buy. And most importantly, each process will help you get the ultimate result, an incredible experience that achieves the client's goal with the least inconvenience. A more advanced system would be able to merge these systems if, for example, you have a married couple where one is hands-off and the other spouse wants personal one-on-one attention. Too many times agents serve one spouse without realizing the other spouse is the true decision maker and is experiencing the worst real estate transaction of their life. They are the ones talking with their coworkers and friends, spreading the word about how horrible the entire experience with you is. Have you ever thought your communication with one client was going great only to find out you were being fired by the other spouse so they could try their friend's real estate agent? Surveying everyone involved throughout the transaction and getting honest feedback can help you create the foolproof, predictable systems that allow you to deliver a high level of service for every client you work with. How to communicate with your clients effectively. The major complaint from consumers in our industry stems from the lack of communication throughout the process. A lot of things happen in a real estate transaction, and a lot of people are involved to complete that sale from beginning to end. This is one of the largest purchases people make in their life, and no matter how well you keep in touch with them, someone always feels like he or she didn't know what was going to happen next. When your systems and processes are perfected and automated to reach clients how and when they want to be reached, you will see your business explode. A word of caution, though. If your process isn't systematized and automated, you could get stuck being an e-myth technician the rest of your career. You will only be able to help a certain number of people by yourself. If you don't have a system that allows every team member, whether it's one or 1,000 people, to do the same thing you do, then hundreds, if not thousands, of potential clients will be left to take their chances with an agent who may not have listened to this book or does not run his or her business like a business. That really isn't fair to those consumers. Everyone should have the opportunity to have an incredible experience when buying, selling, or investing in real estate. Shouldn't the entire transaction be fun, as well as organized and close on time? Part of your communications is getting people to do business with you. This is a huge challenge when you are starting out. The consumer may think all real estate agents are alike, so why not use the cheapest one? Most agents will join their local and national boards and have access to the MLS. So why should they choose you over their brother or sister who is also a real estate agent? Once you figure out the secret sauce that makes people choose you and your systems to give them an experience worth talking about, you will win them over and get more referrals. You want them to feel like they are your only client. A system gives consumers the confidence they hired the right person. The system keeps them informed throughout the transaction so they know what happens next. Consumers want to feel like they are working with someone who cares about this move as much as they do and listens to them. They don't really care how many people you have helped or how busy you are right now. They want you to treat them like their transaction is the most important thing and the only thing you have going on right now. If you pay attention to what successful agents share, you can shortcut the process to finding perfect systems. That's what I did. I tracked my results. When I heard a script and used it, but didn't get the results I wanted, I would change a word here or there until I got the result I wanted every time. For example, at your listing appointment, a seller might say, "We don't really have to sell," and "We don't want to give it away." They have you there to help them sell their house. What do they mean they don't have to sell? Your scripts and wording need to communicate that they are selling because they want to and they are not giving it away. When you perfect your wording to communicate to the client that what they need to hear is the same thing they want to hear, then you have a predictable result system. I didn't want to have 50% of my listings expire. If the seller was not motivated, I would not list that home for sale. My mindset was, if I am at someone's kitchen table talking to them about selling their home, then I am going to get that listing and get them to price it right. Once I got their property listed, I was going to deliver an experience that had them saying, "Wow, thank you so much for all your hard work. You did an incredible job." I just kept working and working on my systems until I got predictable results every time. I did not want to take a stab at it and see what happened. If I operated that way, I would have to go back to the grindstone every day to find the next deal. I wanted my systems to ensure that I got my client the most equity possible for current market conditions. How to keep your clients happy. Every client is different. While you are documenting and creating your client fulfillment system, you will realize just how many of your clients are not having an incredible experience. You may see holes in your current way of doing business that many of your clients are slipping through, and most of them won't tell you they're disappointed. They start to lose trust, faith, and confidence that you and/or your team are the right ones to help them. When you have an automated system in place, you can plug those holes forever and move toward that Disney experience. You can control that experience and make it predictable for everyone you do business with. The key to creating this new, better business model using the eMyth Real Estate Agent Success Systems starts with the client fulfillment system. When you go through the perfect process to automate that process, you and anyone you work with will know how everyone on the team is connected to each client and their experience. When you review your processes every year and continually improve on the experience, you will begin to have more and more happy clients. This is the heart of your clients being completely satisfied throughout the entire process. Have a system for your system to document what everyone does and go through every step of your process as a team to build the perfect process. That is how you will get buy-in from everyone on the team and in your business. How to deal with client dissatisfaction. As you start this journey to become an eMyth real estate agent, you're going to get frustrated and see things about your business and your clients you have not seen before. As I went through this process, I realized that even though we were systematizing this great experience for our clients, we had a negative force pushing back on the other side, the other agents involved. Sometimes it was even the inspectors or the lenders or just about anyone in the transaction who didn't have a similar system or hadn't read the eMyth. If everyone isn't running a perfect system in their business and are not doing their job as well as you think they should, your system needs to pick up the slack. I learned that when bad things happen in a transaction and someone in the process doesn't do their job, the transaction can get messy fast. That can cause a delay in closing or, worse yet, kill the contract. The client will most likely look to the real estate agent and hold our team responsible, even if we did everything right. An automated system allows you to be in the moment at every moment and not be consumed with finding the next deal before this one is finished. It allows you to hold others accountable and to know when and where you need to tweak the system. The perfect system means you don't have to worry about firing employees. The system will choke them out if they don't use it. Your system should be perfected to the point that if your people use the system, it will deliver an incredible experience for the client and everyone involved. Systems allow you to do what you do best, solve problems. You can get out of the reactive mode so you can listen and devise a solution that will get everyone back to their happy zone. Remember, you're going to be creating the ultimate real estate experience. Each client from this day forward will help you document where and when to tweak your current system until you perfect it. The unhappy clients for right now will be the best clients you have and will contribute to creating the perfect real estate transaction. Whom to call a client? As I mentioned before in real estate, everyone is technically a client. Create your perfect process around your perfect client. If you add 100 people to your database every month for the next 10 years, you will have over 12,000 people in your capture system. When you get to that point, you will have the luxury of working with your perfect client more often. Think about what the referral income would look like on a business that generated 1,200 plus sale opportunities per year. You only worked with the people you wanted to, and you referred everyone else to another agent. You will have created a real estate empire, and you won't be physically working with any clients because you're running an eMyth real estate agent business. Michael has explained that until you define who your client is, eliminate every complaint, and create the ultimate experience for every one of your clients, you are in the system perfection zone. Determine what causes stress for you, your clients, or anyone involved in the transaction, and create a system for eliminating all that stress. That will create your perfect client fulfillment system. Now, let's consider Michael's thoughts about growth.
Chapter 17, On the Subject of Growth. Again, that master, Peter F. Drucker, said, "The problem in my life and other people's lives is not the absence of knowing what to do, but the absence of doing it." Please get that. The problem in my life, Peter Drucker said, and other people's lives, is not the absence of knowing what to do, but the absence of doing it. What did I say at the outset of this? If you've got the will, we've got the way, Brad and me. If you've got the will to pursue these very clear instructions we're providing you, clearly, then, without fail, your company will grow. The rule of business growth says that every business, like every child, is destined to grow, needs to grow, is determined to grow. Once you've created your real estate business, your real estate company, once you've shaped the idea of it, the most natural thing for it to do is to grow. And if you stop it from growing, hear me, it will die. Once a real estate agent has started a company, started a sole proprietorship, it's his or her job to help it grow, to nurture it and support it in every way, to infuse it with purpose, passion, will, belief, personality, and method. As your company grows, it naturally changes. And as it changes from a small company of one to something much bigger, you'll begin to feel out of control. Newsflash, that's because you are out of control. Your company has exceeded your know-how, sprinted right past you, and now it's taunting you to keep up. That leaves you two choices. Grow as big as your company demands you grow, or try to hold your company at its present level, at the level you feel most comfortable. The sad fact is that most real estate agents do the latter. They seek comfort, not growth. They seek comfort making just as much money as they hope to make, but never think about expanding beyond that limiting standard. They try to keep their company small, securely within their comfort zone, doing what they know how to do, what they feel most comfortable doing. It's called playing it safe. But as the company grows, the number, scale, and complexity of tasks will also grow until they threaten to overwhelm the real estate agent, More people are needed, more space, more money. Everything seems to be happening at the same time. 100 balls are in the air at once. As I've said throughout this recording, most real estate agents are not entrepreneurs. They aren't true business people either, but technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure. And even as I say that, I'm sure you can repeat it verbatim because I keep on saying it. Technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure. They go out on their own. They create a sole proprietorship. They go to work doing it ad infinitum, busy, 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 busy. Their philosophy of coping with the workload can be summarized as just do it, rather than to figure out how to get it done through other people using innovative systems to produce consistent results and, most important, to create the foundation for a great growing company to grow. Given most real estate agents' inclination to be the master juggler in their company, it's not surprising that as complexity increases, as work expands beyond their ability to do it, as money becomes more elusive, less consistent, they're just holding on, desperately juggling more and more balls. In the end, most collapse under the strain. You know the statistics. If you don't, go look them up. They are so, so informative. But more than that, they are so, so alarming. You can't expect your company to stand still. You can't expect your company to stay small. A company that stays small and depends upon you to do everything isn't what they call it, a lifestyle company. What it is a miserable job. Yes, just like your children, your business must be allowed to grow, to flourish, to change, to be more than what it is. In this way, it will match your vision. And you know all about vision, right? You'd better. It's what you need to do best, better than anything you do. A visionary, in fact, shapes the world. The world doesn't shape the visionary. The visionary shapes the world. That's what you get to do. Do you feel the excitement? You should. After all, you know what your company is, but you don't yet know what it can be. It's either going to grow or it's going to die. The choice is yours, but it's a choice that must be made. If you sit back and wait for change to overtake you, you will always have to answer no to this question. Are you ready? This brings us to the subject of change. But first, let's listen to what Brad has to say about that word, growth.
Chapter 18. Change your focus and get 4 to 5 times more business. The typical small business owner is only 10% entrepreneur, 20% manager, and 70% technician. Michael E. Gerber, The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. One of the most profound statements from my early days in business is from Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited. In it, he says, if your business isn't growing, it's dying. I have been fortunate to hear the right messages at the right times and learn from the best people in the industry. Most important, I implemented the things I learned. Everything I learned and implemented helped to grow my business every day. In this chapter, we are talking about growth. Keep an open mind and understand the message I am sharing with you. The phrase, "If your business isn't growing, it's dying," is one of the most enlightening messages you can get from this book. Suspend any thoughts you have about what you think growth is. Growth is not a 5% or 10% increase in business. Growth is not one great year and then a so-so year the next year. Growth is growing your business exponentially, increasing profits dramatically, and leveraging business so instead of working harder, you work less as you grow. So many agents get stuck in the technician role their entire life because they do not want to manage a bunch of people. But growth is not about people. It is about creating a franchise-like business that is scalable so it could be saleable if you choose. Let's start at the core of growth for your real estate business. Growth is not some automated lead generation machine that is going to send you leads every day. You know by now that only 1% to 3% of all cold or even somewhat warm leads will turn into business. You also know that every person you meet is likely to buy or sell a home in the next 5 to 10 years. The 1% to 3% of people moving right now are what I call fall out of the sky business. If the average person moves every 5 years, then 20% of the population is moving each year. However, only one of the next 10 people moving this year is moving right now, this month. I show an example where 100 people are moving every 5 years. That means 20 people are moving over the next 12 months. That is only 1.5 sales per month. If you have 1,000 people in your database and they're moving every 5 years, there are actually 200 people moving over the next 12 months. That is 16 sales per month, just from 1,000 people in your database. So you can grow your business simply by thinking of every person you meet from this day forward as potential business. You already put effort into getting into conversation with them. Now think of every conversation as your future pipeline business and put them into your lead conversion system. You will pack your pipeline of business to double or triple your current business. In fact, you can grow your business 6 to 8 times by applying a personal touch system to your business. This could be your opportunity to get off the lead generation grindstone forever. If you have your real estate license, you are probably well into your life and career. Time is clicking away every day. Don't wait any longer. Today is the day to build a successful real estate business. Are you looking forward to working day in and day out every day until the day you leave this earth? I advise you to stop and smell the roses. You will begin to realize just what that cliche means when you can enjoy life more. You don't have to miss any of it because you were told you must work hard. I was fortunate to figure this all out when I was 30 years old. I systematized my lead generation, lead conversion, and my client fulfillment back in transaction management so I could make sure my business was running while I was at my daughter's sporting events, plays, singing programs, parents' day at school, etc. Those systems gave me time to be with my wife Sonia's side every day for 5 months while she was in a coma. During that time, business went on as usual with my two team members selling almost 100 properties that year. Thank goodness my success wasn't tied to me being on the phone every day generating new business. Today's real estate agent continually hears the phrase, lead generation. Lead generation is what drives a business, yet if you talk to most agents, they cringe when they hear the word. I know why. Because after putting systems in place that generated an easy 100 sales a year from my database, I still do not like getting on the phone with strangers to persuade them to do business with me. Can I do it? Heck yeah. I can convert with the best of them. However, as a daily routine, it is not fun. If it were, every agent in the industry would be in their office every day for 4 to 6 hours dialing numbers. I have not seen that in any real estate office ever. Sure, I see agents do it for a day, but they won't do it naturally, and they won't do it day after day after day. Even when they do commit to dialing for hours, very few agents put everything, names, addresses, phone numbers, and emails into their database. They just call for the next potential buyer or seller and forget the rest. If you had a good conversation, but the people said they were not moving right now, you should still put them in your follow-up plan. They are going to move one day, and you just had a good conversation with them. Just don't blast them with your automated real estate drip plan. When you master the skill to get all their contact information, you can stay in front of them several different ways. Whatever information is missing will limit the marketing medium you use to convert them into closed business when they do decide to move. If you have email leads dumping into your database automatically, then pay attention to what I'm saying. This next statement could explain why your business isn't doubling or tripling every year and why you feel you are constantly having to feed the beast to keep your business going, let alone growing. Email addresses alone are never going to get you much better than a 1% to 3% conversion rate. There is no magic subject line or message that will get everyone to do business with you. The conversion happens when you connect with them. Once you connect and have a good conversation and obtain their contact information, you will want to mix the mediums on your follow-up and include more personal touches to stay in front of them. The eMyth real estate agent system I created helped me double my business. Once I started using the system, I went from 0 sales in year 1 to 1 million in the second year to 2 million in the third year, 4 million in the fourth year, and 8 million in the fifth year. And I continued to grow my business by sticking to the system. That growth is possible for every real estate agent if you are willing to do what it takes to connect with your leads and implement a systematic follow-up process. Your success and growth will not be reliant on the grindstone of lead generation methods that require you to talk to strangers. I am not saying it is bad to talk to for sale by owners or expired listings, go to the mall, or go door-to-door soliciting. But don't rely on those tactics as your sole method for growth unless you love doing that kind of thing. When you create a system that gets you in front of prospects more often and then stay in front of them, you will increase your chances to convert them into more closed business than if you take the gunshot approach. Think about the real estate math. If you added 5 people a day for 5 days a week, that's 25 people a week, right? 25 people for 4 weeks is 100 people every month. 100 people every month for the next 12 months is 1,200 people a year. Listen, 1,200 people added to your database over the next 5 years are 6,000 connected contact records, and these are people you have a relationship with. Every real estate agent needs to hear this message, whether just starting out or having been in business for years. You can start your eMyth real estate agent growth plan today. I call it the Make the Phone Ring Again, or MTPRA plan, because when you connect, capture, and then apply your automated conversion plan, you will get more business by being the only real estate agent who stays in touch until your prospects are ready to move. It is the ultimate top-of-mind awareness marketing plan. What are the numbers you can expect? Over the next 5 years, the 1,200 people you add the first year will have all moved. That is 1,200 opportunities over the next 5 years, or 240 sales every year for the next 5 years. If you only get half of this right and only get the systems partially created, you could have 120 sales every year. Let's say you really mess it up and only get it 25% right, and all you do is add 5 people a day and write a note to everyone you meet, then forget to stay in touch. 25% of the system in place could still get you 60 sales a year, every year, without having to talk to strangers or cold call for business. In fact, when you focus on this for the next 5 years and add 6,000 good connections and relationships to your database, you have the opportunity for 600 to 1,200 contacts who will be buying real estate every year. If you did a great job of keeping in touch with them and are the first one they think of, you won't have to compete for their business. Following the 5-a-day plan will grow your real estate business naturally and at a pace you can manage. Your systems will be like having an assistant and will streamline all your processes so you can focus on more dollar-productive activities like adding more people to your database and making follow-up calls. You can use your systems as leverage to bank 3 to 4 months of extra cash to cover the salaries of the people you might hire as you get busier. The build it and the business will come business model can put real estate agents out of business by burying them in debt. That stress to pay the bills every month can keep them from ever growing to a point where they can get out of the day-to-day activities. They get trapped doing it every day, and then real estate controls their life. A commercial that ran years ago showed agents working while their clients were enjoying life, and the tagline was, "Real estate is my life." Yes, we sell lifestyle to our real estate clients, but no one said you must sacrifice your life to give your clients perfection. Where do you start? It comes back to your original dream, mission, vision, and purpose for getting into real estate. Was it for you to have a better life because of the income potential? Was it because you had a horrible real estate transaction and thought, "I could provide better service than that"? Or was it because you wanted a business with flexibility in your schedule? No matter the reason, when you figure out your why and you have the will to make it happen, all you must do is apply the E-Myth principles through the already proven E-Myth real estate agent systems, and you can get excited about real estate and be even more excited about growing your business to gain the lifestyle you want. Remember, growth doesn't mean you have to work harder or do more stressful deals. In fact, with the right systems, you will feel as though it takes very little effort to help 100 to 150 real estate clients have an incredible experience without some monster-sized team supporting it all. You could do that with just a few people. Once you get to that point in your business, you will see the potential for growth and how your real estate business could give 5 times as many people the opportunity for a great real estate experience. If you were hoping for a chapter on growth that included how to hire employees and team members who will convert leads better and sell more houses, refer to Chapter 9 on the subject of people. Just adding people is not a guaranteed growth method. This chapter covers a plan for guaranteed growth through systems that people run. This method requires you to get the 3-legged automated systems, lead capture, lead conversion, and client fulfillment systems, in place before you build your real estate business. Once you do that, you're ready to grow with people. Your systems will have been perfected enough to help your future hires deliver an extraordinary level of service for your clients, customers, coworkers, team, and everyone else involved in every part of your real estate transaction. On that note, let's hear in the next chapter what Michael has to say about change.
Chapter 19, on the subject of change. Anders Inset. I'm sure you've never heard that name. Look it up. Our leaders of today need the philosophy of the past, paired with the scientific knowledge and technology of tomorrow. So your company is growing. That means, of course, that it's also changing, which means it's driving you and everyone in your life crazy. That's because, to most people, change is a diabolical thing. Change is what happens to us. Tell most people they've got to change, and their first instinct is to crawl into a hole. Nothing threatens their existence more than change. Nothing cements their resistance more than change. Absolutely nothing. Yet for the past 45 years, that's exactly what I've been proposing to small business owners, to real estate agents, to real estate brokers, to real estate investors, to individuals doing whatever individuals do when they set out to create a great growing company. What I've said is the need to change must be seen, absorbed, internalized, and taken for actually the mantle you must wear continuously should you awaken the true entrepreneur within you. But understand, not for the sake of change itself, but for the sake of their lives. I've talked to countless real estate agents whose hopes weren't being realized through their company, whose lives were consumed by work, who slaved increasingly longer hours for decreasing pay, whose dissatisfaction grew as their enjoyment shriveled. Real estate agents whose company had become the worst job in the world, whose money was out of control, whose employees were a source of never-ending hassles, just like their clients, their bank, and increasingly, even their families. More and more, these real estate agents spent their time alone, dreading the unknown and anxious about the future. And even when they were with people, they didn't know how to relax. Their mind was always on the job. They're distracted by work, by the thought of work, by the fear of falling behind. And yet, when confronted with their condition and offered an alternative, most of the same real estate agents strenuously resisted. They assumed that if there were a better way of doing business, they already would have figured it out. They already would have heard it. They derived comfort from knowing what they believed they already knew. They accepted the limitations of being a real estate agent, or the truth about people, or the limitations of what they could expect from their clients, their employees, their team members, their bankers, even their family and friends. But most especially, their own limitations. They've actually begun to believe that they could do nothing other than what they've learned to do. In short, most real estate agents I've met over the years would rather live with the frustrations they already have than risk enduring new frustrations. Isn't that true of most people you know? Rather than opening up to the infinite number of possibilities life offers, they prefer to shut their life down to respectable limits. After all, isn't that the most reasonable way to live? I think not. I think we must learn to let go. I think that if you fail to embrace change, it will inevitably destroy you. Conversely, by opening yourself to change, you give your real estate business your sole proprietorship. Even the enterprise you're hoping perhaps one day will arrive, shining, gleaming at your front door. The opportunity to get the most from your talents. Let me share with you an original way to think about change, about life, about who we are and what we do, about the stunning notion of expansion and contraction. Contraction versus expansion. Our salvation, a wise man once said, is to allow. That is, to be open, to let go of our beliefs, to change. Only then can we move from a point of view to what we think of as a viewing point. That wise man was Thaddeus Golis, the author of a small, powerful book entitled The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. Seed Center, 1971. Among the many inspirational things he had to say was this compelling idea. The basic function of each being is expanding and contracting. Expanded beings are permeative. Contracted beings are dense and impermeative. Therefore, each of us, alone or in combination, may appear as space, energy, or mass, depending on the ratio of expansion to contraction chosen, and what kind of vibrations each of us express by alternating expansion and contraction. Each being controls his own vibrations. In other words, Golas tells us that the entire mystery of life can be summed up in two words, expansion and contraction. He goes on to say, we experience expansion as awareness, comprehension, understanding, or whatever we wish to call it. When we are completely expanded, we have a feeling of total awareness, of being one with all life. At that level, we have no resistance to any vibrations or interactions of other beings. It is timeless bliss with unlimited choice of consciousness, perception, and feeling. When a human being is totally contracted, he is a mass particle, completely imploded. To the degree that he is contracted, a being is unable to be in the same space with others. So contraction is felt as fear, pain, unconsciousness, ignorance, hatred, evil, and a whole host of strange feelings. At an extreme of contraction, a human being has the feeling of being completely insane, of resisting everyone and everything, of being unable to choose the content of his consciousness. Of course, these are just the feelings appropriate to mass vibration levels, and he can get out of them at any time by expanding, by letting go of all resistance to what he thinks, sees, or feels. Stay with me here, because what Golas says is profoundly important. When you're feeling oppressed, overwhelmed, exhausted by more than you can control, contracted, as Golas puts it, you can change your state to one of expansion. According to Golas, the more contracted we are, the more threatened by change, the more expanded we are, the more open to change. In our most enlightened, that is, open, state, change is as welcome as non-change. Everything is perceived as a part of ourselves. There is no inside or outside. Everything is one thing. Our sense of isolation is transformed to a feeling of ease, of light, of joyful relationship with everything. As infants, we didn't even think of change in the same way, because we lived those first days in an unthreatened state. Insensitive to the threat of loss, most young children are only aware of what is. Change is simply another form of what is. Change just is. However, when we are in our most contracted, that is, closed state, change is the most extreme threat. If the known is what I have, then the unknown must be what threatens to take away what I have. Change, then, is the unknown, and the unknown is fear. It's like being between trapezes. To the fearful, change is threatening because things may get worse. To the hopeful, change is encouraging because things may get better. To the confident, change is inspiring because the challenge exists to improve things. If you are fearful, you see difficulties in every opportunity. If you are fear-free, you see opportunities in every difficulty. Fear protects what I have from being taken away, but it also disconnects me from the rest of the world. In other words, fear keeps me separate and alone. Here's the exciting part of Golis's message with his new understanding of contraction and expansion. We can become completely attuned to where we are at all times. If I am afraid, suspicious, skeptical, and resistant, I'm in a contracted state. If I am joyful, open, interested, and willing, I'm in an expanded state. Just knowing this puts me on an expanded path. Always remembering this, Golis says, brings enlightenment, which opens me even more. Such openness gives me the ability to freely access my options, and taking advantage of options is the best part of change. Just as there are infinite ways to greet a client, there are infinite ways to run your company. If you believe Thaddeus Golis, your most exciting option is to be open to all of them. Because your life is lived on a continuum between the most contracted and the most expanded, the most closed and the most open states, change is best understood as the movement from one to the other and back again. Most small business owners I've met see change as a thing in itself, as something that just happens to them. Most experience change as a threat. Whenever change shows up at the door, they quickly slam it. Many bolt the door and pile up the furniture. Some even run for their gun. Few of them understand that change isn't a thing in itself, but rather the manifestation of many things. You might call it the revelation of all possibilities. Think of it as the ability at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. Change can either challenge us or threaten us. It's our choice. Our attitude toward change can either pave the way to success or throw up a roadblock. Change is where opportunity lives. Without change, we would stay exactly as we are. The universe would be frozen still. Time would end. At any given moment, we are somewhere on the path between a contracted and an expanded state. Most of us are in the middle of that journey, neither totally closed nor totally open. According to Golis, change is our movement from one place in the middle toward one of two ends. Do you want to move toward contraction or toward enlightenment? Because without change, you are hopelessly stuck with what you've got. Without change, we have no hope. Without change, we cannot know true joy. Without change, we will not get better. And without change, we will continue to focus exclusively on what we have and the threat of losing it. All of this negativity contracts us even more, until at the extreme closed end of the spectrum, we become a black hole so dense that no light can get in or out. Sadly, the harder we try to hold on to what we've got, the less able we're able to do so. So we try still harder, which eventually drags us even deeper into the black hole of contraction. Are you like that? Do you know anybody who is? Well, everybody is. Think of change as the movement between where we are and where we're not. That leaves only two directions for change, either moving forward or slipping backward. We become either more contracted or more expanded. The next step is to link change to how we feel. If we feel afraid, change is dragging us backward. If we feel open, change is pushing us forward. Change is not a thing in itself, but a movement of our consciousness. By tuning in, by paying attention, we get clues to the state of our being. Change, then, is not an outcome or something to be acquired. Change is a shift of our consciousness, of our being, of our humanity, of our attention, of our relationship with all other beings in the universe. We are either more in relationship or less in relationship. Change is the movement in either of those directions. The exciting part is that we possess the ability to decide which way to go, and to know in this very moment which way we're moving. Closed, open. Open, closed. Two directions in the universe. The choice is yours. Do you see the profound opportunity available to you? What an extraordinary way to live. Enlightenment is not reserved for the sainted. Rather, it comes to us as we become more sensitive to ourselves. Eventually, we become our own guides, alerting ourselves to our state, moment by moment. Open. Closed. Open. Closed. Listen to your inner voice. We call it your ally. And feel what it's like to be open and closed. Experience the instant of choice in both directions. You will feel the awareness growing. It may only be a flash at first, so be alert. This feeling is accessible, but only if you avoid the black hole of contraction. Are you afraid that you're totally contracted? Don't be. It's doubtful. The fact that you're still listening to this book suggests that you're moving in the opposite direction. You're more like a running back seeking the open field. You can see the opportunity gleaming in the distance, in the open direction. Understand, I'm not saying that change itself is a point on the path. Rather, it's the all-important movement. Change is in you, not out there. What path are you on? The path of liberation? Or the path of crystallization? As we know, change can be for the better or for the worse. If change is happening inside of you, it's for the worst, only if you remain closed to it. The key, then, is your attitude, your acceptance or your rejection of change. Change can be for the better only if you accept it, and it will certainly be for the worst if you don't. Remember, change is nothing in itself. Without you, change doesn't exist. Change is happening inside of each and every one of us, giving us clues to where we are at any point in time. Rejoice to change, for it's the sign that you're alive. Are we open? Are we closed? If we're open, good things are bound to happen. If we're closed, things will only get worse. According to Golis, it's as simple as that. Whatever happens defines where we are. How we are is where we are. It cannot be any other way. For change is life. Charles Darwin wrote, "It's not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one that proves itself most responsive to change." The growth of your company, then, is its change. Your role is to go with it, to be with it, to share the joy, embrace the opportunities, meet the challenges, learn the lessons. Remember, there are three kinds of people. First, those who make things happen. Second, those who let things happen. And third, those who wonder what the hell happened. The people who make things happen are masters of change. The other two are its victims. Which type are you? The big change. If all of this is going to mean anything to the life of your company, you have to know when you're going to leave it. At what point in your company's rise, from where it is now, more than likely as a company of one, to where it can ultimately grow as a great growing company, are you going to sell it? Because if you don't have a clear picture of when you want out, of the end game, your company is the master of your destiny, not the reverse. As we stated earlier, the most valuable form of money is equity. And unless your business vision includes your equity and how you will use it to your advantage, you will forever be consumed by your company. Your company is potentially the best friend you ever had. It is your company's nature to serve you, so allow it to. If, however, you're not a wise steward, if you do not tell your company what you expect from it, it will run rampant, abuse you, use you, and confuse you. Change, growth, equity. Focus on the point in the future when you will take leave of your company. Now reconsider your goals in that direction. Be specific. Write them down. Skipping this step is like tiptoeing through earthquake country. Who can say where the fault lies waiting? And who knows exactly when your whole world may come crashing down around you? Which brings us to the subject of time. But first, let's see what Brad has to say about change.
Chapter 20. Stop trying to fix what is broken. The key to becoming an entrepreneur is to be willing to start your business all over again. Michael E. Gerber, E-Myth Mastery, The 7 Essential Disciplines for Building a World-Class Company. Routines are comfortable. People do not like change. Sounds reasonable enough, except that people do like change if it makes their life easier and they make more money. Life isn't always about money, but if you don't make enough money to support your lifestyle, it's hard to argue that it's not important. You can easily obtain a status quo or comfort level in real estate. Anyone selling 10 to 20 homes per year can live a comfortable lifestyle. Agents selling 40 to 50 homes a year are considered very successful. That keeps a lot of agents stuck at those sales figures for their entire career because it is a comfortable place to be. Stuck may not seem like a bad thing if you're closing 40 transactions per year and making $200,000 in commissions. But if you stay in your comfort zone and something in your life pulls you away from your business for a few days, a week, or in my case, over 5 months, what would happen to your business? Now, on top of whatever situation you're dealing with, it might be a challenge to pay your bills. If you continually operate above your comfort zone, which does not take much more effort, you will be sucked back down to comfort zone in a crisis, but you can focus your energy where it needs to be. Everyone at every level of success gets into a comfort zone. Without systems, the agent must show up to work every day, or the business will not generate income. If they don't show up for a week or a month, the business would probably have to close. And that means dealing with loss of income. Everyone has had at least 1 month in their career where they were concerned about money, so they had to work extra hard, sometimes missing out on pleasurable events. If this is happening to you frequently, it's time for a change. Change does not have to be drastic. The business model to follow is as simple as doing step one, then step two, then step three, putting your systems in place, and then doing what the system tells you to do. The old saying, you have to spend money to make money, is wrong. The first step to begin to experience an e-myth type real estate business is to meet and connect with 5 human beings every day. Capture their information, and feed them into your database. Once you are feeding the database every day, you'll have to implement step two, systematizing the leads so you stay connected, and then cultivate them over time. That's when step three, a client experience system, also referred to as the client fulfillment system, becomes important. Capturing more leads and converting those leads will begin to get you so much business. You will need a system to keep everything running smoothly from contract to closing. You have to decide to do your business differently than in the past, and until you make that first simple change, the next steps are irrelevant. You must feed your database every day, or you will not be able to reap the benefits of this book. If your business isn't growing, it's dying. It might not happen today or tomorrow, but one thing is certain. Your business will stay on the roller coaster ride if you don't implement step one, feeding your database. Adding people to your database should be as natural as brushing your teeth. When I got into real estate, my first wife had a real job. We could count on her getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. That provided insurance for our growing family, and even though the income was never enough for us to live on, it was guaranteed. My real estate income was on an extreme roller coaster ride for the first